to GalacticConnection.com, one of the most popular blogs on the World Wide Web today for alternative news. Stay tuned for the latest information on our world shift from enslavement to galactic involvement, as well as current intel on any blockages impeding us from our sovereign birthright. Knowledge and self-mastery are key at this time. Our commitment is to present you with the latest breaking conspiratorial articles, off-world messages, exopolitics, cutting-edge technologies and sciences, and also an ever-significant intertwining of spiritual support and metaphysical scope that one needs to dive down the rabbit hole and search for truth with balance. We are truly on the horizon of a new golden age filled with the promise for more love, worldwide peace, and accelerated intuitive skills, where every living being can exist in cohesion and abundance. It is whatever we envision and dream this new world to be. I say to you now, let's redefine the new world to the beginnings of our own precious heaven on Earth. Galactic Connection is here to provide the pulse of Mother Earth through an eclectic range of interviews each Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 p.m., Pacific Standard Time, Station 2 on BBS Radio, expanding your perspectives on how we can once and for all take back our freedoms, our joy, and our connection with our mighty I Am presence. Our intention remains true to connect hearts and minds everywhere in order to obtain global unity and galactic and universal acceptance. Our discussions will continue to cover anything to do with galactic society and our involvement with our galactic brothers and sisters. Our guests are experts in their fields, and our radio shows have been coined as some of the most thought-provoking out there. In addition to our daily blog, which runs 365 days a year, we also offer a realm of healing services such as our world-renowned implant removal processes, our spiritual past life clearings, our galactic violet ray alchemy from Alexandra, who shares in the lineage of Merlin, and other cutting-edge healing technologies. Check our site out at galacticconnection.com now. Sending you a wave of light, love, and inspiration, and a personal hug and thank you for listening to our Galactic Connection radio show and visiting our blog today. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and this is a pre-recorded interview for August 9th, 2016. And before I dive into that, I would like everyone to know that if you haven't already felt it, hopefully you're aware that things are really popping on the planet. Lots and lots of secret agents are getting, let's say, planted and getting ready for an amazing series of events to occur on this planet. So please be aware of that. I am calling on all guardians, all star seeds, all light warriors, all light workers, whatever you want to call yourself, that you would be keenly aware of this time through the Lion's Gate and recognize that every intention that you are putting out to the planet is ringing true. It is traveling not only through the planetary space, but there and beyond. Remember how much authority you are being given right now. It is those of us that are awake and enlightened that have so much authority to generate and manifest exactly what we want. So just want to remind you of that. I also want to tell everyone thank you so much for all the support and all the love and all the beautiful emails and testimonials that continue to come in. We just love you guys so much, and we thank you for appreciating that which we give to you. We really are honored to be able to serve not only the starseeds, but in particular the healers and the practitioners of this world, who I truly feel we could not be making it without them. So with that said, my guest today is Laura Legere, and if any of you remember, I interviewed her, I believe, last year, and it was a really crappy video. I mean, you just could hardly see her, and I was kind of disappointed, but, you know, we had to get it up there, like, immediately.
So we're going to go ahead and interview her today. I am with her in person. And if you don't remember Laura, she is a conspiracy optimist. This is what she calls herself, which is so absolutely true. If you know her, you know that she is always good for a good joke. She's the author of a book called It's Not Weird Anymore, An Extraordinary True Tale, the writer of the 2011 Reader's Favorite Award. Since 1993, Laura has been a massage therapist, and man, is she good. She just gave me one last night, and I'm still, like, in bliss. And an educator and instructor in essential oils for health, healing, and emotional release, as well as nutrition. Currently, Laura is studying common law through the National Liberty Alliance, which is really her true love. We're going to be talking about that today, to become a common law court administrator, and also inspiring others to join and help and take back the corrupt courts and restore natural common law for you and me and we the people. So hang on and hang tight, because we've got a really, really good interview coming up right this minute. Thanks. So hi everyone. I have one of my favorite people on the planet, Laura Legere. And I want everyone out there to kind of give her a big applause, and she's going to say, oh, stop that. See, look at that face. But truly, she's one of another, just holding the torch for all of us to really get it, to take action, to step into our power, to recognize that no one is going to give us our power back unless we proclaim it and we take it back ourselves. We've got to step into our power. This is such an important time. We're stepping into the lion's gate. These are magical energies, and they're all about us manifesting what we want, focusing on what we want, not on what we don't want. And trust me, I'm going through similar experiences myself, really getting kicked in the butt by spirit. And I couldn't think of a better time to be interviewing her, because she's really stepped heavily into the common law court. Not only the proceedings, the documentation, what's really going on behind the scenes, and how the typical court systems are responding to the momentum and the movement of common law. It's very, very interesting what's going on here. And I think we need to hear this, because I was listening to her the other night, and I thought, well, if I don't know this, then maybe a lot of you guys out there don't know this. So, I do want to say one thing. There is a flyer for National Liberty Alliance. Hopefully you guys can read that. And one of the things that it states is that all 50 states have been reconstituted since August 2014 for their common law grand juries. So I kind of wanted to talk to Laura a little bit about that. But the common law grand jury, we the people, is the fourth level of government, and it sits at the top, above the Supreme Court. Whoa. I don't know about you, but that kind of resonates. And common law grand juries can take back the corrupt courts, get rid of the Agenda 21, smart meters, forced vaccinations, endless wars, criminal politicians, fake corrupt corporate governments, and restore the original Constitution. They do have conference calls Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, and that's 9 p.m. Eastern. And you will run into Laura, because she's very active in quite a few of these conference calls. So anyway, what I want to do right now, though, is I want you to get to know her a little bit better. She's blowing my mind, frankly. I mean, since I've been here, I had no idea how fearless this woman was. And so can you just give them a little bit of an idea, like, just your travels from the age of 17.
From the age of 17?
Yeah, just give them a blurb on you've been and what you've done. Just, you guys have to hear this to believe it.
Okay, well, I was raised in Virginia, Roanoke, Virginia, and that was when I graduated in 1974, and I wasn't college material, and I wasn't baby material. So I decided that I needed to travel to learn. So I went out to the West Coast, and I started Well, actually, I made ski boots in a factory, and then I said, oh, I heard about fishing in Alaska. That's a lot easier, I guess.
Amazing.
So I, for three seasons, I did commercial fishing in Alaska, trolling. And then I went traveling for a year and a half on a sail. I sailed to from Hawaii to Samoa, and then I ended up going to Australia. I really don't have a lot of time to tell you all the stuff that happened in between, but I definitely learned a lot and ended up back in Seattle. And
at what age?
25.
Oh my God.
And so I left when I was 23 and came back when I was 25, looking for maybe a better place, but I really didn't find it. And so then I ended up working on tugboats and taking rail cars up to Whittier, Alaska, and then taking oil modules up to Prudhoe Bay, which is pretty much the North Pole. And I did that for, I forgot how many years I did that. But in 86, I quit, and because I was in a relationship and we were married and we barely ever saw each other, so we decided it was better if we tried to get jobs in town. And so... So I started working for an electrical company as a laborer, and then I got on and started splicing high voltage cable for the power company. Then that felt like a prison working for the city. And I really couldn't wait to get out, but I still did it for 7 years. And so then I became a massage therapist because I was working so much overtime at the power company that I got massages because I did that. And then I just kind of transferred over to that and just... To me, being your own business and healer, there's no glass ceiling.
Yeah.
And you can just keep going from there. And so that's what I did since 93. And then two years ago, I got involved with, actually 2.5 years ago, I got involved with Natural Herbie Alliance. And I never thought I would be interested in that kind of stuff, but... If we can restore common law back in the courts and get rid of the corrupt system, we can get a lot of people out of jail that don't belong there. I mean, most people don't. So,
and when you say most, what percentage are you talking about?
Well,
I would
say 90% of the people in there that don't belong in there.
I mean, I think we all realize that. We just don't know how bad it really is. And I think you hear so many stories because you oversee some of these conference calls. Can you give people an idea, number one, what was the final kind of ignition for you to jump fully into National Liberty Alliance?
Well, as soon as I found it, I jumped in because in Seattle, I was in an activist group, and I still am, even though I live in Roanoke, but we were fighting the smart meters. And so I don't know why it seemed like intuitively I kept hearing about a common law grand jury and saying I want it. Somehow it presented itself through our activist group. And when it came is when we were reconstituting each state, which took, you had to put a notice in the newspaper, and you had to have at least 25 people in your county sign that they wanted to do this, something like that. No, I'm sorry, at least one person. Because the way, you know, there's lots of counties in each state, and we weren't connected to everybody in each county yet, but we could choose, if there was plenty of people in one county that wanted to do it, you could choose another county to represent. That's how we did it. Now, it's really on paper that we're reconstituted for each common law grand jury in each state, but we still don't have enough people doing the work. And so what we've been doing is acting as a unified United States common law grand jury. And so we've been blanketing the whole 94 districts. That's all the districts in the United States. And we've been blanketing with our documents, the quo warrantos, and also we have been helping people with their cases, but we're more of an educational facility and a support. So I am I'm co-captain of the courtroom observers. So I have a conference call, a free conference call on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And people call in with their cases and other people. There's lots of helpful people on the call. And so I might have a few announcements, but I let people talk to each other about what they've been doing. And so there's been really a lot of help with that. But the courtroom observer is a really important key person, because you really want to have somebody that's observing what is going on in the court and how the judge is behaving. They're supposed to be neutral. So if they're angry or they're too friendly to the prosecutor, or they're messing with the jury, they're not supposed to do any of that. So you can, but you definitely want to do fact writing, like who said what, you know, quotes. And also, if the judge isn't being neutral, you can write that down, but you are actually documenting evidence. And the other thing that they do in the court is they take the recorders and they record it live, but then they also take the stenographer's recording and they take it right to the judge's chambers and they just start screwing around with it. So if you have a witness in there that's writing it all down, it's a lot harder for them to do it. Plus they behave differently. And so,
amazing.
So what you do after you've written down your notes, but we try to get people to be able to record in the court. You're supposed to be able to do it, but they have been really sticklers and basically telling you can't, even though that's not lawful or legal. But we don't want you to get thrown out of the court. So the best thing you can do is sit there with a notepad. And because if they're really adamant, you can't take recording equipment or, you know, your little camera. But some people can sneak it and just do it anyway because everything is so small. Fine, mm-hmm. Do that.
Yeah, no kidding.
But we still don't want you to get thrown out. So so when you do, we have an affidavit, affidavit of evidence, which you can fill out. We have instructions on how to do that. We also have the affidavit itself that you can fill out, you know, use your notes and fill that out. And that's the evidence, and you can get it notarized and send it in to, if you're already working with some people, you can use them for that. But sometimes we have taken on people's cases, but we have gotten a little overwhelmed. So, you know, you can do what you can. We're encouraging people if they have really good connections to use those too, not just us. And so, so we found out, I mean, I have listened to so many stories that have blown my mind about really how the system works. And I would never know this unless I was doing this. And yeah. So,
well, let me ask you something, but just to jump in for a second. So basically all of you out there that have written in or have asked, what can you do to take action while you're still working? Okay. This is a fairly simple, easy, most amazing contribution to the freedom of this country. Okay. And, you know, when she was talking to me in more detail about this, it just seems to me like not only are you going to get educated by showing up at a courtroom date, but you're all, as long as you can take notes, and if you're somebody like me who loves to journal and loves to write, you know, and was a scribe probably in another lifetime, and I just love to write. I write all the time. It's just right up your alley. So please contact her because we need more assistance. Apparently there's a lot of people that contact National Liberty Alliance who are desperately needing someone to watch their back in the courtroom. And just by your mere presence, right? Just by your presence.
Well, but you really need to write it down.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
But your presence does. There was a case that this, it was only one courtroom observer, and it was a child protective services, which is, don't ever call them.
Oh, really?
Anyway, yeah. They're just trying to steal people's kids. And so this woman had three kids, and they took her. She had a baby, but they didn't take the baby, but they took her boy and girl, and they were making up all kinds of stupid reasons. They're crazy. I found out that for every kid they get, they create 30 jobs. I mean, it's just
wow.
Nuts. And so they get money if they give your kid to the parent. If there's two parents that are, you know, around, they somehow make money on giving the kid to the ne'er-do-well parent that does not working and is messed up. I don't understand that part, but I heard from a guy that's been helping people. They make money on the kids. I mean, if you're poor, that's who's really vulnerable to this because you don't have the money to fight them. But if you have money, it's less likely any of this will happen to you because, I just had it happen in my family where, I found out that my, niece had her kid taken from Child Protective Service because one of the family members was a concern. And,
and I made a phone call
totally freaked
to CPS.
Out. Yeah, okay. I totally freaked, but they gave the kid to the rich grandparents and to
so
the
because they had money,
yes.
they didn't lose the child.
Right. Okay, so that I got that, but man, when my mom told me that, I was totally messed up for a
yeah, because CPS is, can be really nasty. Do you find that a lot of the cases, like for example, if it is a case that involves CPS? You said something to me about, you know, once you pull them in, they don't seem to leave.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's just, well, it's even with the court system, it doesn't even matter whether it's CPS, but for the most part, if you start getting in trouble, I mean, however they make you in trouble with the court system, they just keep dragging it out and dragging it out and extorting more and more money from you. And it's pretty serious, but what I should say about this one case where they had one courtroom observer, and she got her kids back, and they were freaked out about him, the guy that was in there, you know, observing. And so,
because, do you guys see the power in this?
Because
awesome,
we the people are the ones that have the authority, but we think we have been conditioned to think that we don't, and that they do. I mean, one judge just said. Somebody asked him, well, what gives you authority? He said, my robe, you know. I mean, it's just ridiculous that we've, you know, well, they've trained us really good to believe all this stuff.
So here's what we're doing, guys. Remember I put the call out for ambassadors, and we ultimately want ambassadors from every state, every territory in Canada, every country, okay? And you haven't heard back from me yet because – you will, but there's other things that have popped up that take a priority, like super major priority, okay? And you'll understand. But right now, we're collecting all the names, and if you want to contribute and help Laura, Laura and Michael are definitely coming on board and working with Galactic Connection. She's going to start working the conspiracy arm, which is really inclusive about legalities and law, lawful proceedings, and going back to the common law way of doing things. So we really need that arm of GC to be fortified, and she needs more help, and LA needs more help. So if you feel, especially as a guardian, justice is like part of your bloodstream, right? I mean, it's inside all of us, justice and freedom. If you're really feeling called, please contact her. Now, where
well, actually, the best thing for them to do is to just join nationallibertyalliance.org. You just go to the website, and the front page is join. It's free. Everything's free. We do really need, well, we're asking for $5 a month because it costs a lot of money to do all these documents, especially blanketing the whole country at once. And we really do it all at once. I mean, we do it to the clerks, the judges, the marshals, and the sheriffs. And we're really educating. That's right, the other part we're doing by sending them these documents. They are getting educated because a lot of them didn't know. Mm-hmm. And some of them are kind of irritated by what they ended up getting a job for. They didn't know when they went to college that they were going to really start working for a criminal organization.
Wow.
And so I feel like we're getting them out of jail too, because we do have kind of silent people that are within the system that are cheering us on, and we're not trying to throw them out. I know some of them, they kind of have this attitude. They think that we're trying to take their jobs away. Well, not really. We're not trying to do that. If they want to get on board with us, fine, but if they're really being a criminal, then no.
Right.
But if they really want, would prefer to do with their job and, you know, uphold their oath to the Constitution, fine. They can stay. And we have been, you know, so I am, so right now we're working on committees of safety within your community. And so we're, a lot of people, I am actually, I feel like I live in Mayberry RFD because my sheriff is awesome. And he's been taking my documents, but he's been getting them for a few years too. But now I put a face to the documents. And then when I go to his meetings, because he's been having meetings on safety in the community, and he has different themes. And I just go to all the meetings because I'm developing a relationship with him. And he told me that, after a month or so, because he's going to be really busy, that I can have a private conversation with him about what we want to do. And he said, I gave him a little bit of it, and he said, this is really what we want. Now, not all sheriffs are like that by any means, but the ones that are, go for it. And also, even the ones that are a little reluctant,
keep trying
too, you know, meet with them and talk to them. So we're trying to make it more personal too, besides just sending documents. We did do this action in the spring where we any NLA member in the state to go to the district courts. And most states only have two district courts. And so I happen to live like a couple miles from one, which is really convenient. But so my partner and I went down, we were asked to go down there and ask for photocopies of the front page of all the documents that we had sent them in the last 2 years. We gave them the list, and we wanted to see what they had to say because we were being witness to their whatever they chose to do with them. And we got excuses. All of them were excuses. We don't keep documents of cases that are closed. Well, it's not a closed case, for one. And but that was the answer. But we weren't there to argue with them. We were there to witness what they did, and then we filled out affidavits as proof of their felony, basically, refusing to file paperwork. And the other thing about charging you money to file paperwork is totally illegal too.
And they do that all day long.
Oh, they do that all day long every day. And when a lot of his documents, if they didn't file them, he would send the clerk a notice that they were going to be sued for extortion, and then they would file it. You know, so it's empowering to learn all this stuff. And we have two free courses on the website. One is this 120-hour civics course, and the other one is the constitutional course. And so you can take those. And if you're a member, you have access to a lot more pages on the website. And so it's important to become a member. And it would be nice if we got $5 a month at least. But you don't have to, especially a lot of people are pretty, I mean, I've talked to people because of their situations. The system took everything away from them. I mean, I've met people that their kids were taken away, all their assets, they're living in their car. And they, you know, so because maybe their spouse was in with the judge or, you know, that kind of stuff.
And that's really common.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or their spouse is a lawyer that's in a bar carrying lawyer.
So I want to ask all of you that are listening to this, isn't there something within you that's just burning to jump out of your skin and jump out of your house and jump out of your cave? If you feel like you've just not found where you want to go and what you want to do for this planet, this is such an opportunity to me to be literally, it's really on the ground floor level right now. And the sky is the limit. That you have to understand that this is truly where we're going. There is no way that we're going to stop this momentum because this is our true divine law, right? I mean, this is where we're going. So, you know, I say to all of you, this used to be normal that you would sit around a table and talk about your legal rights. back in the turn of the century and beyond when we were slinging guns, okay? That was perfectly normal for you to really know your own rights. We have completely been dumbed down in that way. We have no clue what our rights are, and this is the time that we need to step in and really educate ourselves. So for all of you out there, if you can please support National Liberty Alliance and people such as Laura, and start developing a network here, we could really do some serious damage to our corrupt legal system. How awesome of a great feeling would that be, of an accomplishment, you know, to really carry us into the new earth, you know?
Well, you know, I had this awesome letter from somebody that said their pay grade is well way above Congress. And they said that the cabal was shaking in their boots for what National Liberty Alliance has done in a very short amount of time.
Wow.
And he said, if you think you're not doing anything, you are. And he said,
right on.
And he really was, you know, behind us for doing what we've done, because I have heard from a friend of mine that has her intel, and she said that there is a bunch of common law lawyers that are not bar carrying lawyers that are working in secret to restore the republic.
I totally believe that. And I've met several.
So we
of them.
Think what I'm getting is that they're cheering.
Definitely.
Because we're public, they're cheering us on secret.
Yeah, and they're supporting you, but quietly.
Right.
Yeah.
They said, you know, that the cabal is shaken in their boots behind closed doors, and especially the judicial system. Now, to us, the judicial system is the one of the major systemic problems, because it protects all these criminals, and they're criminals. I mean, a lot of people that work within that system,
right,
are criminals too. And so if we restore common law in the courts, which is just common sense, that's all it is.
Yeah.
And I mean, there is just people in jail there's people in jail, rotting in jail with no conviction at all. A lot. Because
audacious, huh?
Yeah, it is. And you know, it's just, if you saw Michael Moore's movie, Who Are We Going to Invade Next? Did you see that?
No.
It's
but
really,
I've heard about it.
It's really good. I mean,
yeah,
it shows all these systems in the other countries. And definitely, you know, I'm sure everybody's heard this. We have the most incarcerated, the biggest population of incarcerated people in the world. And plus, they're not rehabilitated in there.
Of course not. They're not supposed to be, because it's all part of the system,
right?
Of being broken,
right? So in Norway, you're only, no matter what you did, you can never, and the worst thing you could possibly think of, you can never stay in there longer than 21 years, and you're taken to kind of like a fishing resort, sort of like,
wow.
But you're isolated from people. You can't just. You have to be with people, but they're teaching you how to be good neighbors, is what they're saying, and they have to cook for each other and do stuff.
Amazing.
And the people in there actually were quite enlightened, it seemed like. Now, one of the other things was, I forgot what country, I can't remember, I need to see it again, because I got mixed up on what country was what, but one of the countries, if you were in locked in maximum, you were going to a maximum security prison, the guards sang "We Are the World" to you when you got there. I mean, it's so different. And I know, you have to watch the movie. It's fantastic.
I got it. There's so many movies I want to see.
Yeah, and so, you know, our system, and Michael Moore asked the guards and police from these other countries what message to give Americans, you know, and they, you know, told us that you need to lighten up and stop treating people so horribly. And, you know, you need to start helping, really seriously helping them, instead of just beating them up and locking the key.
You know, I think the other thing you're touching upon, and I think people would agree, is we've spent a lot of time creating momentum to bring awareness to this planet. You know, so people are aware that there is this very maniacal force, this oppositional force that's trying to literally kill off the human race. we've done a really good job in that area. And it's not that we don't need to continue because there's so many people that are asleep. But for those of us that already been there, done that, you know, we already know about that. The next step is, what do we want? And making the decision to take the action to bring it to the forefront. So this is just such a perfect opportunity, I think. And I want you to talk to them. This blew my mind. Talk to them a little bit about, we're all really well aware of Child Protective Services. Tell them a little bit about this Adult Protective Services.
Well, you know, Adult Protective Services is sort of, I guess to me, they're one and the same. It seems like it's the same agency. And so, especially if the elderly have assets and they're really isolated, they go after them and they make up documents to get guardianship over the adult. And they, I mean, I've talked to people where they just took their parent away and wherever they're being held at, they won't let them talk to them because the lawyers are in charge of their whole, you know, estate and their, how they're cared for.
Oh my God.
Now I did talk to this one guy that was an NLA member. This is a couple of years ago, but he put up his story up on the forum, and it said that his mother's 90 years old, but totally with it. And, he's an NLA member, but his two sisters really wanted to steal their mom's property. So they gave her some drugs and made her seem like she was crazy and called the to put her, she was in a mental institution, and her son was her advocate. And he just kept saying, do not sign anything, and you demand by whose authority. And she did that. So they just let her out because it was too much trouble, which was good. And he said, if you want to call her, here's her number. Her name is Velva. She's in South Dakota or something. So I called her up and I was really, you know, happy, you know, letting her know that I was really happy that she got out. But she was saying, what can I do? And I said, well, do you have a computer? And she goes, well, yeah, but I don't know how to use it. And then I said, but you have the phone. I said, if you just get on the calls, you can listen in on it and just get educated and share it with people.
Right on.
And she said, you never know that this kind of stuff is going on until it really happens to you. And she said, when I was in there, I saw all these old people and they look like zombies. And I know that they had just gotten in the same way I had. You know, I mean, that's the same thing. I know people that certain people are fighting the system and they just go bust down your door and arrest you and just make up stupid charges that are fake. And they want to give you drugs so that you end up with brain damage. And they've seen other people in there that they did that to because their brain is messed up and they really can't function to fight anymore. I mean, it's just nuts. And we can't just write these. I mean, I do petitions, yeah, because there's an energy force behind it. But, you know, just signing petitions all the time to the people that are doing it, you know, the senators and the congresspeople that are a huge part of the problem. And we're always asking criminals to do the right thing. Well, yeah. Where does that get you?
Exactly.
And I mean, I do have that with people who have a lawyer, a bar carrying lawyer, and they just think because, you know, they're arguing common sense, they have to get it. And they're not arguing common sense. They don't care about it. It's a for-profit private corporation is what the judicial system is.
Which means it could never be unbiased.
Right, because they're about making money.
It could never be about freedom.
I mean, there are people who have gotten out of situations because they knew how to do it. Now, some people really know how to orate, and they're really powerful, and they know who they are. But, you know, for the majority of us, it's not worth it for us to go and try and do that unless you really have the same conviction and mm-hmm. stamina and knowledge that they did. So the simplest thing to do is if you're in trouble or you have to go to court, is that whole case is laid out in the paperwork. That's it. It's just in the paperwork and it's laid out really simply. You take a bunch of copies with you. You take a copy for the judge. You keep a copy for yourself. You might give one to the bailiff or even one to the prosecuting attorney. and they are going to try to get you to speak and trip up your paperwork. So what you do, the simplest thing to do, it's in the paperwork, bug you again, it's in the paperwork, bother you again, it's in the paperwork. You stick to that, and if they keep bothering you, just pick up the paperwork and start reading it, and that's it. That way you're not giving them authority over you or messing up what's already, you've already laid out for them.
So clarify. So what she's saying is you have your paperwork.
You give it to the judge.
And the only thing you say is it's in the paperwork.
And if they keep bugging you, just pick up the paperwork and start reading it.
Okay. So everybody gets that clear.
Basic thing to do.
Because I know that when I spoke with Winston Trout, and I've had many interviews with him, there's so much power and authority that we're giving back over to the court system through our language.
That's
and
right.
And we don't know it. And they know that we don't know it. So they use that, you know, to be able to keep us imprisoned, basically. So this is a really good tip. I felt so fired up to have her on today. So what other hot topics do you continue to see coming through in LA?
Well, we really were working on the standoff in Oregon.
And now tell them about that. That was fascinating.
Well,
I think they'll love
hearing. Okay, so we were monitoring it. It wasn't, NLA didn't really condone what they did. We didn't really recommend it because we're trying to keep people from going to jail. And for even doing it, like, okay, we don't recommend, we do help you and give you courtroom observers if you've done this, but we don't recommend people go around without a driver's license and then without license plates and all that stuff, because you end up in jail a lot of times. Yes, you're right, but if you end up in jail, how are you going to do anything? And then you get stuck in that system. And so there's things like that we don't recommend because the chances are you're going to get in trouble. And so we're going after the systemic problem. So once we actually are able to restore the common law in the court, and all that stuff is going to go away anyway, it won't exist. So that's why we're going after the bigger fish. Mm-hmm. The same thing with the birth certificate. That all stuff will go away. You won't be going to the Commerce Department and being traded on Wall Street, you know, your straw man, all that stuff. We don't recommend doing any of that because too many people get in trouble. And
I've heard the same thing, just to share with everybody. I had a close friend that actually returned his Social Security number back. And he went through this entire process because we were educated on this from start to finish. You know, where to go, what to file, what to say, where to send the documents, et cetera, et cetera. And he went from start to finish. He paid, you know, just silly fines because you have to file documents. Mm-hmm. And what he found out was he successfully extracted his SSN number, but he then found out that when he wanted to travel out of the country, they actually arrested him. Yeah, they took him into custody. And they looked at him as a, I don't know, I forgot what they called him.
Well, we're all terrorists now.
Yeah, but I mean, they pulled that garbage on him. And you have to be really careful that we're in the midst of taking back our power and going back to the basics of common law, but we're in a bridging situation right now because the law of the land has been this very corrupt, you know, system that we call, what, court, judicial system,
yeah,
whatever.
Justice,
you know, well, I don't even want to say that.
That isn't.
It's so non-justice. So we're literally, we're trying to figure out where do we go, how do we go over the bridge to where we want to go without getting in too much hot water. So I feel like a lot of people are probably going to ask me, Kevin Annette, he's very, very adamantly opposed to bridging. He just wants to go straight to common law. And he's been doing that, and he's had some successes. But he knows his stuff. I mean, from start to finish. So, I mean, if you're, like, super educated, like Winston and Kevin and people like that, go for it. But I think this is more of a logical approach for people that are getting started.
Right. And it's safe.
Yeah.
So we, well, went back to the standoff in Oregon.
Sorry.
We sent two people from NLA to just get affidavits from people, and I'm glad they got out of there when they did. They really only stayed a day or two, and that's it. Because right after that is when it got really bad. And and they saw what a zoo and a circus it was, because there were crisis actors there too, and there was Blackwater, or whatever you want to call them now, Greystone mercenaries. And before that, they were actually talking to the FBI and having a good dialogue, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, we can't have that, you know. So we really know that they brought in the Blackwater mercenaries to do what they did, and I think they probably were going to massacre. It seems like they were trying to massacre all the people that were in LaVoy Finicum's van or truck, but somehow divine intervention.
Yeah,
I mean, really. That, and also this,
The Bundy?
Well, I'm going to go back, just okay. Finish this part, but the woman, there's a Nevada, I don't know if it's a congresswoman or assemblywoman or something, who saved the four people that were left at the refuge, because they were going to be ambushed, and they stayed live streaming all night with her. She asked for a helicopter to come and pick her up so that she could go, and they refused to do it. So she drove all night long to get them out. And that's how they live, really. Seriously.
Right on, whoever that is.
I forgot, but she was awesome.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah. And so
we need more people like that.
Yeah. And so anyway, but we have been working with people, activists that have been really still working on their case. And we've got witnesses there. We've got affidavits from like 30 people that go every time there's a court thing. I'm not sure what the status of it is, because they just had another showing in the court. And the guy that reported on Monday night, he said everybody was crying. Everybody.
Aww.
And so,
tears of joy.
Well, I just feel like it was the truth somehow was being told in there, and I wasn't there, so I don't know exactly what happened. But I do get calls from the two women that are really major active that have orchestrated the whole thing, and they just need information from me, so I give it to them. But I don't know all the stuff that's going on there. But yeah, then they conglomed all those people and made the Bundy Ranch out to be this big, you know, illegal operation where there was major divine intervention going on there, because they put the BLM guys, they were not, when they were called in, they were not told what the heck they were going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
They just weren't. And so, and towards the end there, so the first people that came upon that to protect the Bundys was grandmothers and their grandkids, because they knew they were going to be shot if they didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Then, more people came in, more of the militia and the Oath Keepers came in, and the BLM actually got cornered in like a kill zone, which was on purpose, because they were trying to get a bloodbath going, and they had snipers up in different parts trying to get both sides, pick off both sides to get the guns going. And they do that all over the place. They did that in, I wish my brain would quit. In Russia, but.
Ukraine.
Yeah. They did that in Ukraine, and they caught the mercenaries doing that. And actually, I read a report where there was a whole bunch of Greystone mercenaries missing, and they didn't know where they were.
Interesting.
And they caught them picking off both sides. And I remember watching some police caught our CIA agents on the street, and they put it up on YouTube, and they're identified them and everything. Anyway, so this is the same tactic they do in all the false flags. And so what happened was none of the guns would work. So
Right on.
So the militia went up to the, found the snipers, and the snipers are pointing their guns at them, trying to shoot them and all this stuff, and nothing is happening. So the militia told them to just go back to their friendlies, is what they said. Just go back to your group, and sent them back there. And Colonel Potter and the head of the militia, I forgot his name, but they were talking about how they really definitely felt the divine presence that took care of the situation.
Awesome.
So
it's kind of nice to hear it from you, because everybody's read up on it, but I know you have these connections that have actually been able to tell you on the ground testimony.
Right. So, I mean, some of it's just from me being, you know, plugged in that way, and not necessarily from NLA, but
that's great.
So what else? Oh, so this action we did just recently, so they're refusing to, a lot of them are refusing to file our habeas corpuses, which mean show cause. They have to prove cause for what they're doing to this person. And they hate them. And they don't file them, but they don't get rid of them. They just put them on a desk somewhere. And it's a felony to not file it. So, but they've been doing this across the country. So this one woman came up with this idea in New York, and she was working with some people that this happened to. So what we did was we did a phone calling campaign. So I sent out a notice nationally of who to call and what to say. It's a script, but you can change it up a little bit of whatever. It's just a sample, but it had the bullet points of what they were, you know, telling them they were doing wrong. And so, so we did a phone calling campaign, and then this week we faxed them. We just bombed them with faxes about the same things. And so we're seeing what's going to happen with that. But the more we do this, it keeps the people that are working there that are on the fence or honest, they're fine with it. They like it, you know.
So you're affecting the minions,
yes,
so to speak.
Well, yeah, and John,
you know, or the people that are on the fence, they're not really sure what's going on, right?
Right, but they're being educated. And right. I remember one time when we were sending them, what were we sending them? We sent them, this was, I don't know, a while, this was over a year ago. I forget which documents it was, but it's basically laying out what they're doing and what they're supposed to be doing with their criminal behavior. And it has all the Constitution in it and everything. And so some people called up the clerk and said, well, did you get that document? And yeah, I got that document. And then they hung up. And then he calls them back and says, "What? I want you to read it to me."
That's great.
And so she starts reading it, and she goes, "Hey, this is cool."
Funny.
You just don't know who's there. We're not trying to throw the people out of their jobs.
Trying to work with who's already functioning there. You know, it's kind of like what Winston Trout has said, and he takes a lot of heat for this comment. He's like, we really need to just work within the system. We don't throw the system out. Work within it and just restructure it, right?
That's what we're doing, is the structure's there.
Most
and I understand.
I understand
Kevin's position.
Yeah.
I understand why he's doing that, but I also feel like everybody has a piece of the puzzle.
I do too.
He's got a huge, huge, huge piece.
Yes, he does.
But so do we. So
yeah,
it's just...
Totally agree. I think the light, you know, and this is the other reason why the finger pointing within any community needs to stop, because everyone is being sent in on their own passion and their own way of being able to kind of like clear the pathway through that lens. And ultimately, if we have 1,000 different lenses going towards one focal point, we have a much better chance of breaking that free, you know, and affecting the planet than if we only had 3 lenses.
Right.
You know, and 3 pathways. I mean, that's basically the way the light works.
Right. Well, I remember going onto this website called, what was it called? Something Alpha. Roundup Alpha.
Oh, I've heard about
that. No, Roundup Alpha.
Okay.
And it said, pick your favorite cabal members to arrest. And they were serious. I mean, Anyway, and there was a really interesting, you know, there was comments and stuff, and somebody said, why can't you, you all get together and just make, you know, like all the people that are doing all this stuff, why can't you just be one big group? And the answer was really good. He said, at this time, it's really important that we work with our own individual piece because of the infiltration. It would be so easy for them to infiltrate it, like Anonymous. They can't, they've had a hard time doing anything with it because there's no head.
Well, why do people think that the one world government designed itself that way? Right?
Oh, you mean so it could be infiltrated? What do you mean?
No, because it can be it.
Oh.
Because of the way that it's designated, it's impervious because it's in everything.
Oh, well, that's kind of what they did anyway.
You know, even though it's one world, we all know that it's completely taken over every aspect of society. And we should be doing the same thing.
That's right.
We should be doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I did want to just plug everyone. I got an email the other day, and it did go up on the blog, but it's really big news. So Kevin Annette was just informed that a local TV broadcasting station with 250,000 viewers in Spokane, Washington, is actually going to publicize and broadcast our on-the-fly interview from July 9th. So they're asking for support. And that's really important because that whole thing is all about, there were a couple of tidbits in there. One was about Priest, who has now made it policy that priests are no longer allowed to be alone with children, I believe in his district, however they do it in the Catholic faith, which to me just shows.
What's the point in going, you know, if that's what you...
I mean, if that's the risk, why would you listen to somebody that was the risk? I mean, it just shows that they're getting nervous, you know, mm-hmm. and Kevin's really making some, and that was in Canada where it's really dangerous for him right there.
Right.
So anyway, if you haven't heard that interview, please do. But back to Liberty Alliance. So you also talked about one of the major things that's coming through is the seizure of land. So can you talk a little bit about that? Because
yeah,
that's something that's probably near and dear to all of our hearts. So if you've purchased your own home or your own property, if you've been educating yourself, you're finding out that you never really owned it to begin with. Okay. But can you take it from there?
Well, okay. Is the cabal's money is being cut off in different places. And so they're really going after people's property now. Now, what they would do is make up documents saying that you were the tenant and not the owner and you weren't paying your rent. That's what they do and make it into court. And the person would have all the proof that they had the title, the deed, you know, that they paid it off and all this stuff. And, I mean, I had a judge just say, well, I don't care what you have, we're taking it. You know, stuff like that.
But if you had a witness, right?
Well, yeah, it's better to have an affidavit. So here's the thing.
Okay.
Even if it doesn't work in your favor at this moment, you're keeping evidence and documentation of what happened so that when the common law is restored, you will be righted. That'll be right. It'll be fixed. And I did ask John one time about all the Native American treaties. I said, so when we get in there, are we going to restore all the treaties? And he said, well, we have to find out what's the treaty is and what's there now and make up some kind of, you know, a solution to it. So we're going to have to deal with that too. But once we have really restored common law in the courts, then we're not going to have to fight this thing anymore. Then we're going to really get down to good stuff.
Right.
Like just take care of stuff that needs to be done in the community. As a, you know, as a volunteer
Right.
on this board, and there's not just the same people, it's a revolving thing where everybody gets to be on the common law grand jury to help that. And that's what they used to do, in the colonial days, that's what they did. They used the court as like a community forum. That's what they had it for, too. And at the time, the church was more of a... what would you call it? A place where you could tithe which was, I think it was mandatory to tithe, which, anyway, but still
we've all bought into that, haven't we?
But back then it supported the widows and orphans, so they had something for people who didn't have somebody that was supporting them, mm-hmm. you know, or a way to support themselves.
Right.
And there were more lawyers, because during that time, there was more law books being sold in America because everybody was becoming a lawyer and they didn't want to fight us in the courts from England because we knew too much.
This whole thing is about all of us. Now, I'm talking enlightened people, right? I mean, do not forget that it's the enlightened community that is blazing the trail. It's not about the masses here. It's about those of us that have this wisdom and knowledge that are going to make the difference on this planet. It's really up to us. We can't keep looking at the masses. We got to look at ourselves and recognize that because of the authority that we've been given and that we already have, that we are the ones that are going to start the momentum. To me, again, how cool is that to be at the ground floor level? We are going to watch this thing explode, literally explode, if it hasn't already started. It's a slow start.
And the more powerful people that put their energy in it, the more it gets it to go. I mean, that it really gets momentum.
Exactly.
Now, I do want to say one thing. You know, John, who started National Liberty Alliance, he's a very religious, caring, honest person, but he was a Sunday school teacher, and so I just am going to ask you not to get turned off by his religious stuff, and that most of the leadership in National Liberty Alliance really isn't religious. But he's the voice. So we just let, because that's not the point of what we're doing, we just, you know, let that go.
So if you didn't figure out what she's really saying, she's really saying don't get caught up in the religiosity. If you happen to be on one of his calls in the very beginning, because apparently in the very beginning he reads
a
scripture,
something. But that's not really the point, and I just don't want people to think it's some exclusive religion thing.
Right.
That's why I say that.
If that doesn't float your boat, just stay focused on the goal at hand, which is let's take our legal rights back through common law, which is our divine, sacred birthright. And we are really, truly, in this instance, we are really, truly going back in time. We're going back in time to re-educate ourselves and remember what, how do you say it, unalienable rights we really have.
Yeah.
That's kind of exciting because we've just been so oppressed for so long. And there have been, as you said, there have been some victories.
Oh, well, yeah, there has. I mean, well, especially getting that letter from that guy. But, you know, we don't know. See, the thing is, they're not going to announce that we did this or we won this. They're not going to announce it. You just have to know
that
certain things happen. Now, I guess I probably never finished that. Oh, no, I told you about that woman getting her kids back when she just had a courtroom observer.
I think the courtroom observer is a really big deal.
It really is because you're supporting this person, but the people that are you know, the judge and the prosecuting attorneys, they don't like it at all.
I don't know. Does that fire you up? Fires me up.
one guy told me one time. This one guy, he said he sat in the back. Oh, I know. Yeah, he sat in the back with his friend, and they just kept writing, and they just sat in the back, and they watched the judge and the prosecuting attorney just totally freak out about who they didn't know who they were. They thought that because they're supposed to be some kind of watch group anyway within that system.
Yeah,
and
right.
And so they always like, oh, I wonder if it's them. Yeah, they don't know who it is, but this person said it was the most fun they ever had in their entire life.
Because they are really affecting it.
Right, exactly.
I think it's hilarious.
I mean, I've done it. I mean, before I got into National Liberty Alliance, I had two friends of mine who had to declare bankruptcy because they had to get out of this personal growth program. It sounds really weird, but anyway, they were leaders in it because the modules were great, but the people at the top were really messed up. And they also, if you're a high leader and you try to get out, you have to go bankrupt because you put your all into it. And then they go in and they go in on your bankruptcy and try to draw it out forever. So I watched one of my friends learn how to be an investigator, and she took this $850 an hour lawyer that was flown in from LA down.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it was great. I stayed in the courtroom as a witness, but I was there actually to hold more energy, and I was really doing the violent flame and all kinds of stuff like that.
Right on.
That was before I got into this stuff, but I just...
I got to say something that's popping in. Now, for all of you that are listening, and you're saying to yourself, yeah, okay, you know, courtroom observer, filing affidavits, you know, what's that word, counteracting, not responding to a habeas corpus, right?
Right.
You know, yeah, you know, it doesn't do anything. I've been there, done that 10, 20 years ago when I was really fired up in it, and I just was always going up an uphill battle. We are no longer there. We are really getting divinely supported now more than ever. So if you're hearing that thought pattern in your head, erase it and try again, because now you're going to find if you literally command and proclaim that you need assistance from the light and you walk into a courtroom, I swear, I mean, it just is happening.
Right.
It really is happening.
I did that a long time ago. I got a, some kind of, I don't even want to explain it, but I was not in the wrong.
Right.
But I could see how somebody really messed with my car and parking, and they made me look like I was the one that screwed up.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't. So I took pictures and I, went in to fight. It was only $50, but still,
principle.
Yeah. And so I went in there and I just did this whole energy thing. It was full of people and the judge, and I was just breathing in. I'm compassion and peace, happy, and breathe out happiness and joy. And I just kept doing that. And I know he was staring at me for one. Then when I got up there, he goes, oh yeah, we're giving you your $50 back. And he goes, yeah. And he was really like joking with me and everything. He said, yeah, they really messed up. So, you know, doing something energetically is really powerful.
So important. And they really are excited about seeing us taking action. So again, I'm stressing, this is another arm of Galactic Connection. We want to pull the guardians forward, pull all of you forward that are really drawn to do something on a justice and freedom level. If you're not feeling like you're contributing, this is such an awesome opportunity to start networking with fellow guardians and friends. And I just really think it's a great opportunity to start pulling us all together. Now, with that said, you know as well as I do, we need assistance in being able to orchestrate and bring all these people together. So just again, be patient, because, you know, we're in the midst of kind of figuring this all out and pulling it together so it works for everybody. So it's a win-win. I have a question for you. It says here, NLA has aligned with the constitutional sheriffs, oath keepers, and militias. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it hasn't been easy to do that, but we have oath keepers that are members of NLA.
Okay.
And there are militia members too. So the constitutional sheriffs, it's very interesting because there was a, you know, Sheriff Mack was the head of the constitutional sheriffs, right? And he actually had to give it over to his family, a husband and wife and their son.
Why?
Well, I don't know. I think he just was really busy and wanted them to take over that part. But Sheriff Mack has his, you know, opinion about how things are supposed to be done.
Right.
And so does John.
Oh boy.
Or we do. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's still educating. And but the family totally embraced us. The
Good.
Family. So, you know, we're working with them, and there's some really good sheriffs. And so I don't know if the sheriff that I'm connecting with in my city is considers himself a constitutional sheriff, but I'm going to find out and see if he wants to do that anyway, you know, because he seems like he's really for the people.
Yeah. And that's the key.
And he takes my documents. I mean, even the first time I went to his meeting, they put me on TV and asked me all these questions, and then they showed me handing them documents on TV.
Really?
Like, wow, yeah. But nobody knew what I was handing him, you know.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting.
It's acknowledging your action.
Excuse me. Okay.
You can cough, Laura. Well, I just was wondering, that's a really important alliance to make with not only the constitutional sheriffs, but the oath keepers. Because I know they have a really strong role to play. Mm-hmm. I've blogged some stuff of theirs in the past. Now, the militias, I mean, they all play their role. So I guess one of the other things that I was wondering is you must run across so many varied perspectives of the definition of freedom. You know
what
I mean?
Really?
Well, you know, meaning like you might have the love and light community that's totally anti-gun.
Oh, I see.
And then you might have the militia that's totally pro-Second Amendment. And what we're going to be learning on this journey is to be tolerant of one another and how we define that freedom to be.
You know? Right. Well, okay.
You get what I mean?
Yeah. You know, because of where the information and the guardianship and the higher spiritual stuff that we are connected with, that's my protection.
Yeah.
So, but a lot of people don't know that or have that. And I still feel like the people that are owning guns are keeping us from being taken over. I'm serious.
Oh my God, it's documented.
Yeah.
And historical
because
documents.
England told us not to do it. Australia told us not to do it because they've been sitting ducks ever since they did it.
Exactly.
It's terrible because the bad guys are the ones that always have them anyway.
Right.
You know?
And it is a balance of power. Mm-hmm. It is a balance of power. You know, mm-hmm. Simon was saying there is no question the United States of America is the catalyst. Like everything is being banked on where we go from here. And I feel like so much of it's because we're one of the few countries that still has legal guns.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Ownership of guns.
And every time they do a false flag, more gun sales. I mean, it totally backfires like crazy.
I wanted you to tell them that. That's
pretty funny. Backfires every time.
That's pretty hilarious.
I know.
And tell them about the false flag thing that you saw the other day with the FEMA. Remember you talking to me about that?
Which one? God, there's so many. It's just ridiculous.
It was something like it actually came from the FEMA website.
No, it wasn't the FEMA website. It was it wasn't the guy that at the DNC that was trying to. His son died in the war, and Trump made this big thing, and they had to take down. This father is a lawyer who is doing. He has this whole thing on immigration to get all the refugees in here, or something. I'm not really saying this very well at all. I mean, but he had to take down his entire law firm website because it was up there showing the connection of that whole, you know, what trying to make Trump look really. Because it's not hard to do.
No, it's not. but I mean, you're saying that he exposed the connection between the Trump campaign and the actors.
At the Democratic National Convention, there was a father and a mother who son died in the war, and he was from another country.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been paying attention to this stuff. Sorry, it's just too. It's, I don't know, but
that's okay.
Anyway,
sorry. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
But the guy, the father who was trying to make Trump look bad, is totally in Hillary's, like the Clinton Foundation. you know.
They're burying themselves.
Right. So he had to take down his whole law firm website because it was exposing stuff that they didn't want people to see. But he took down the whole website for their business.
Wow.
You know, for that. So I don't know that that's what you were talking about. Because to me, there's so many things. I just get them jumbled in my head. I can't.
And things are just popping, man. There's so much evidence coming forward and there's so much exposure coming forward. And now you've got the bounty.
Oh, that too,
a bunch of heads. Which, to say that, talk about that. You had a very interesting perspective that there was an article put out from someone that stated that, it's not really something we should do because, remember you were talking about...
You were talking about...
They were saying that you shouldn't bother doing the bounty because they're just going to bring in
another bounty
from the other people.
Right.
And you felt like, well, isn't that the whole point of it? Because first of all, we're trying to dwindle their funds. Right. I mean,
right.
We're trying to.
Exactly. And so that would, they, I don't even know if they have the funds to do that. But they may, you know, they.
But at least they're trying.
They might put an article out that says that. Oh, you better not, because we have another one on top of you. Anyway,
which actually showed that it was Rothschild related or Rockefeller related. It seemed like to me.
Right.
I forgot where you got that from, but anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. Well, okay. So, is there anything else that you want to talk about before I let you go?
Well, we need a lot more volunteers for National Liberty Alliance, and it would be nice to have some really high-vibe people. And
that's you.
Yeah, and so because the more people like that in it, it makes it way stronger. And so if
we
you...
We got the power!
just go to nationallibertyalliance.org and join, and get on the Monday night calls. Now, we have conference calls Monday. I guess there's one on Tuesday too. It was kind of iffy, but I would go Monday, and you can get on mine on Wednesday night. And then there's a Thursday night call, which is for the district leaders and the sheriff's committee calls too.
Wow.
And the committee of safety. And so
and you're on the committee of safety, right?
Well, I guess I am. I didn't officially join, but they always say, hey, you're on this and you're on that. And I go, oh, really? I didn't.
Yeah, but that's because you're so good at what you
anyway,
do.
Anyway, so it's all the calls are 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I would go Monday and then Wednesday and then Thursday. And they're in the – when you go to the main page, it says Monday night call. And all it's all the same number. It's all the Monday night call room as all those other ones. But it's 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And the – Monday night call can go till midnight, but you don't have to. I would say the first part is usually just giving everybody an update on what's happening next or what's been happening. And then you can ask questions. He does have a common law lawyer that comes on and talks about common law.
That's cool.
Brent, so you get educated. Brent Winters. Yeah, he... he's written books. He's got books on Amazon too, and he's in Indiana. And he sounds a little bit like a preacher, but anyway.
just focus on the goal at hand, guys.
Anyway, so then Wednesday night's my call, and then Thursday night's a good call too. But you know, you're just kind of learning about it, and then all of them are archived on the site too.
So the other thing to remember is if you're really hot about diving into justice and you enjoy, you know, what they're doing and you really are behind it, you feel it's integrous, which I think it is definitely, you can start your own call, right?
You mean through National Liberty?
Yeah. No. You can be like a offshoot, I thought you said.
No, you can't do that. No, because that's actually how infiltration gets in. They have really tried to do stuff, but I think because John is so focused and his leadership is so focused on not getting steered in another direction, they've tried.
And, yeah. you know, they try to mess up our calls sometimes. Yeah, I
totally relate to all of that.
Yeah, I remember I had an experience.
He's uncorruptible.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And so, you know, people trying to steer you in another direction, or it's time for John to step down and somebody else to step up. Well, you know, I mean, I have to say these supposed dictators in other countries, what we've called them dictators, and that really wasn't what they were. But because the people, or they stayed, I felt like the reason it was important for them to just stay there once they got in, because of the infiltration that we did. We would go, I mean, if there was an election, forget it.
Yeah.
You know.
Good point. That's a really good point.
You know, so.
Different way of seeing things.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay, so give them the contact information.
NationalLibertyAlliance.org. That's the main place, and you can go to the calls. I mean, you go to the Monday night call, but join. You know, you can actually, if you don't join, you can still go to the Monday night call, too, and see whatever. But we do have things that we're starting to have more homework for people to do, and I feel like I'm starting to do that more with people by sending out a notice and giving them a job to do, which is kind of fun now. And I got a really neat call from the people who are doing the action. The calls and faxes for her, and she goes, we love you.
Aww.
You know?
Well, yeah. How can people not love you?
Well, what I mean is it's just fun to be able to do stuff like that, you know?
Well, we're finally coming together. We've been, you know, we've been out on our own. We've been isolated and kind of blazing through the jungle by ourselves for so long. And now we are starting to find one another again. And as we start networking and working together, we become so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Galactic Connection needs volunteers too. We have to be really, really careful, just like John does with NLA, because, you know, they focus on us and they're always trying to, you know, mess with us. Anybody that they feel is going to have an impact of any kind of powerful impact. So be aware of that. The other thing I want to do is, where's your book?
Up there.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. So this is Laura's book.
Oh, it's backwards. Ah! It's backwards,
oh,
though.
Is it?
No. Wait. I mean, it shows backwards, though.
Oh.
I guess. Maybe not.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. It's Not Weird Anymore, An Extraordinary True Tale. And you got to check this out.
It's on Amazon.
This woman has the most amazing story. And she had an incredible accident in what year?
2007.
2007. Where she ripped her whole face open and everything. Look how great she looks
well,
now. Anyway,
it
was like that.
Well, it ripped. I got ripped all the way through to here.
Okay, is that the same?
My nose was really half off. I broke all my cheekbones, my upper palate, half of my orbital bone.
Tell them how many screws and plates you had.
They had the seven steel plates and 34 screws in my face.
Oh,
but
excuse me, 34 steel plates.
No. The other
34 screws and seven steel plates, and that's not ripping your whole face apart. Okay.
Well, I guess I don't know how to describe it then.
But anyway, check it out. It goes towards a good cause. And, you know, doing stuff like this really is kind of paying the way to help her with all the work she's doing with National Liberty. And trust me, she's as dedicated to this as I am to GC and all of you. So check it out.
Thank you. That's okay. It's on Amazon.
Okay, everybody. Well, take care. I hope you're not in hot, sweltering heat like I am.
I'm sorry.
But, hey, I'm just trying to get used to it.
I am.
But
me too.
Air conditioning is a great thing.
It is.
What would we do without it?
We would be sweating in front of this camera.
Yeah, big time. We'd be sweaty pigs. So stay tuned. We have a lot more stuff coming, and I know I keep saying that, but it is coming slowly but gradually, and, of course, it's always because of lack of human resources, lack of financial resources. So if you feel compelled to, you know, join our team and also work together with Laura, we're going to be working more and more together. I definitely feel that, you know, drop us an email, and we'll go from there. Okay. So lots of love to you guys. Don't forget to continue checking out all the new things. I finished my Removing the Veils alchemy set. And the only thing that's keeping me from putting it up on the web is the box, which has to be special ordered, and the labeling and stuff. So we're getting close on there. And the cost of, like, they have to make a special box and all that stuff. So hang tight, because I'm excited about what came through with that. And lots of other cool things. If you have any other questions, you know where to reach us. Check out the daily blog. It's 24/7. It's 7 days a week, and it's gratis. So please pass it on to all of those, because we do a lot of the work for you. Kind of blow through so much of the articles and intel that's out there. If you don't want to spend a whole day surfing, you know, we try to do a lot of that work for you and give you the pearls that we think have some pertinent information in them for you to read. So take care, and I am honored to be here as usual to serve those of you that are unbelievably enlightened and amazing and constantly teaching me. And I love you to the core. And
I forgot to give my website.
Well, tell them.
LauraLegere.com.
And it's spelled?
LauraLegere.
Okay.
.com. Sorry.
That's okay. So we'll talk to you later. And you guys, hang in there.